We're in progress again.
We're in progress, yes. Well, I see what happens when we're away for 2 weeks. We get rusty.
No, that's just hair color.
Oh, well. Anyway, welcome to the Bob and Tom almost every week show.
Yeah. The biannual, by something. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
When we are here, we're here.
We have to tell our viewers and our listeners that if you like what we do, don't forget to hit the like button, because it adds subscribers. And if you want to know when the next one's on, hit the subscribe button. And then almost every week we'll be here commenting on stuff.
Well, yes. As we said in pre-production, there is a plethora of stuff, and trying to whittle it down to the important fiddly bits is getting more and more difficult.
Well, I think we have to start on a lighter note. You sent me a note on lawn darts.
Yes, I did.
Yes. And apparently lawn darts are unsafe.
Mm-hmm. We've had that discussion, and yeah, we can't have them because people could be hit by projecting dart missiles, whatever. Yeah. Severe injury could result.
Yes. But alas, if you
are you waiting for this?
Yes.
With breath?
Yeah, I want to know what is less dangerous than lawn darts.
You know, I think it would be almost Nerf balls. Nerf balls might be okay.
No, but that's not what you sent me.
I know. We now have the axe throwing home kit.
And I
find it just so ironic that everything is usually prefaced with, "Now, folks, don't try this at home. These are professional actors."
Yeah.
So how could you even put something like that on your home axe throwing kit?
Well, I will show this as we go along, because we do that in post-production, but it's the funniest thing. For $49.99, you can buy a professional axe throwing kit mailed directly to your home. Because that's okay, but don't order any lawn darts.
Well, I think if you also look close, you'll also see what are those, you used to see them in the old martial arts things, the things that they throw. They're also on that as well, if you look close at the picture.
Well, I'm looking at it, and it'll be on for those who watch the video. You've got this hand throwing a top speed dart, which is an axe going into a target, but it's top speed. And it says it's in French, it said it's really great for interaction between children and parents. I tell you, it's just too funny. It's
funny, but it's like everything else. It's a sad funny.
Well, exactly. It's,
no,
it's,
this is not going to end well.
I know. No, it's not, and it just goes to show, you know, how screwy stuff is. But I've got to tell you that, you know, there were things happen over the past 2 weeks. It's, like you said, we were never out of details. We took a hiatus for 14 days, but then you come back and your inbox is full of ludicrous stuff, and you go, you know, we must be living in a parallel universe. The one on I sent to you on the book climate change, that they've published a report that suggests that in the U.S. state and federal policies to decarbonize Decarbonizing, by the way, is a new euphemism for we're going to shut everything off that's got to do with oil and gas, fossil fuels, right? That is presenting an increasing reliability risk during transition, which means between now and when we turn everything off, due to potential timing mismatch. Listen to the word salad. Due to potential timing mismatch between resource retirements, meaning they're shutting everything down, load growth, which means people are still plugging things in, and the pace of new generation decarbonized life. The decarbonized refers to the reduction of fossil fuels and a greater reliance on solar, wind, and hydropower. And a Nobel Prize-winning physicist called John Clauser said, "I believe climate change is not a crisis," he's told an audience of scientists. In the end, he said there's a mismatch between what they want and what you can do. And I'm not going to read the whole article because you can find that on the internet if you want. But basically, he says, if you think carbon defossilization rather is going to work, don't hold your breath. He says, this is a skeptic, of course. He says that the whole thing is nothing but pseudoscience, meaning it's nonsense. So, he's basically a Nobel laureate who says, look, this is crazy stuff that's going on here, because it's just all about talking, but not doing. You're going to all end up with shutting down these plants that, make power when there's no wind, when there's no sun, and then there's not going to be enough of the alternate energy put on grid. And so it's a lose-lose situation.
Well, I agree that we need to look at other things and give people the choice. Don't cram it down my throat to say that this is what you will do, because that just smacks of dictatorship, communism, socialism, whatever ism you want to throw at it. I guess it gets, if you start this kind of process, things will get better. Look at the cars in the 1970s. I know when I was driving into Vancouver in the 70s, you would see that yellow smoggy haze that was apparently bad for us. Car manufacturers got smart. They started to reduce the carbon or whatever it is that makes the smog. And now when you drive in, yeah, there's still smog there, but it's nowhere near the levels that it was, primarily because people got smart and started looking at alternative things. And I don't have a problem with moving to electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles, because inevitably something is going to come up and it's going to change and it'll make it like, why didn't we do this decades ago? The aha moment, as it is.
Right.
So yeah, it's I guess it's like being a parent and you wanting your kid not to go to a party, but the kid wants to go to the party, and we're kind of at loggerheads with, yes, you want them to realize that it's not a good idea to go to the party without telling them it's not a good idea to go to the party. And they have to reach that conclusion themselves. And unfortunately, with our current modes of government, they haven't grasped that. They're just telling us, this is what you're going to do. And then I think that puts up an awful lot of, not animosity, disagreements, I guess, to, well, you're telling me it's good, then it's got to be bad.
Yeah, well, this Dr. Clauser is talking about pseudoscience. He actually said that we're awash in pseudoscience. And what you're just saying about the people who make the decisions, they're awash in pseudo politics too, because it's not real. It's all based on somebody's emotion at the time. And so we're living in pseudoville.
Is that something that Dr. Seuss did that?
Hey, and I think there could be a link.
Could
Well,
be.
whilst you were away, Bob, there was big doings at the Manitoba-North Dakota border. The Canadian border agents, as the news likes to call them, these are the CBSA guys, seized 140 pounds, that's 63 kilograms for you metric types, worth of cocaine
Wow.
at a little place called Pembina, North Dakota. So that's about $6 million worth of stuff in a truck coming out of North Dakota. Anyway, it's the largest narcotic seizure in Manitoba for the last 5 years. And so they were saying that, ooh, this is interesting how cocaine, because everyone's focusing on fentanyl, because fentanyl, fentanyl, fentanyl. Meanwhile, cocaine comes up the side, through the back doors. The amount of stuff that's being seized is so enormous, it's difficult to get your head around it. The DEA, which is the American counterpart of, I guess, various different agencies in Canada, but DEA is all about it's a drug enforcement agency. They were saying that they seized so much fentanyl that it would kill every single human being in the United States, period.
Well, yeah, I understand it doesn't take very much to do that, but yeah, scary stuff.
It's
And it still keeps coming.
and they're really at wits end. He said this guy who's the head of the DEA said that there's enough fentanyl to supply a potentially lethal dose to every member of the U.S. population. And he said this in spite of the fact that the American Homeland Security Secretary says there's no crisis at the border, and that the border in the southern border, the U.S. southern border, is not open. And now I think lots of people will beg to differ, given the amount of traffic that is filmed walking through into the United States. But your eyes, your lying eyes, will deceive you, because those are probably something that you really are not seeing. There's not anything to worry about.
It goes back to a lot of things. And again, to talk politics and border security, or your city security, your municipality, or your rural communities. We have denigrated the role of law enforcement so much that they are having a hard time trying to find people to fill the spots. And this is not going to bode well in the long run if you can't hire people to protect people from the law. Then what happens when it all goes to hell in a handbasket? You get anarchy, you get we talked about that reproduction, the mob rule, and with mob rule, nobody's in charge. And how do you get that control back?
Yes, that's a very good question. Getting the control back is, well, if you look at the news headlines these days, no one's in control of anything, or it wants to be, even. It seems to be strange. Just in the last week, there's been so much news about how the trust in law enforcement and the agencies who are involved, whether it's the actual police or the courts, people just don't b believe anything they do anymore. I mean, it's terrible how the corrosion has become so deep. People used to be, back in the days, used to say, I don't believe if what they write in the papers. People have got a much more negative feeling about anything in these days.
Oh, that's right. Well, I guess from our point, and I kind of chatted pre-production on that too, was with our local municipality trying to move from a federally funded police force with the RCMP to a municipal police force. And part of the arguments floating around was with the provincial government saying, well, the RCMP in the province of British Columbia are 1,100 members short. And therefore, they can't be expected to police municipalities as well as the rural areas. And with that, you can't poach people, right? You can't go to the places like Vancouver or Abbotsford or and poach members from them to fill your ranks. That's not going to happen. So all said and done, the provincial government, which is a New Democratic Party, NDP, which I'm referring now to the non-democratic process party, because they unilaterally ruled that after the voting in our municipality to keep the RCMP in Surrey, is not you're not going to do that. You're going to go with a municipal police force. And on top of that, we're going to give you $150 million of taxpayers' money to help fund the transition. But there's no indication on where these new Surrey members are going to come from. If the RCMP can't poach, does that mean that Surrey can't poach? And if there's no rules on it, then what is that going to do to the other municipalities that have their own police forces, losing members to the new Surrey police force? And it's just exacerbating a situation that is, I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I am very, very supportive of anybody that wants to go into law enforcement now today, because you're going in almost with a gun at the back, where it doesn't matter what you do, it's not right. And you're going to get the Monday morning quarterback saying that it should have been done this way, or it could have been done better, or you shouldn't have done this. And so good on you for wanting to stand up and take that role.
Yeah, but didn't you tell me that the guy who wanted the municipal police to replace the RCMP was defeated by the candidate who said, no, we're going to keep the RCMP?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he was overruled by the province and said,
Yeah.
no, even though you were elected. I mean, you're talking about how do you trust the electoral system that, if the majority of the people voted for the mayor to do one thing, but then she is basically overruled
Well, yeah.
by the next level of government. Okay, so does that make that election null and void?
Well, it kind of gets down to, I have no idea what it's like in your neck of the woods, or even to where our viewers are from. But what is the percentage of eligible voters in that particular area, wherever you're from? How many actually get out and vote? And now we've got a situation here where I think it was the last vote that said that they wanted to keep the RCMP in this jurisdiction. It wasn't an overwhelming number of people. 30, 35% of the people who were eligible to vote went out and voted. And people are crying and whining that people just aren't going out to vote. But here we have the non-democratic process party telling people now it really doesn't matter what you do, as far as you get with whatever it is you want to do. If we don't agree with it, then it's not happening, and we're just going to tell you that this is what's best for you. So don't expect people to come out and vote in droves anymore, because
Why would
what's the
they?
reason?
You basically your vote's worthless
Yeah.
if some other level of government decides that whatever you voted for is not according to their
Yeah,
policy.
yeah, yeah. But, oh, God, isn't it just terrible? They get
Guess what
all
happened?
these phone calls. We never had phone calls for a while, and now they're hang on a sec.
It's the beauty of live broadcasting,
Yes, live broadcast.
not to worry. We have things, we have the technology. Bang, gone.
But anyway, yeah,
Well, why would you trust your vote? Because that takes away any incentive for people to to go out and have their say. Look, they had a couple of by-elections here while we're still in the Canadian realm here. 20-25% of the people showed up to vote. So that means that 75% could care less.
Well, and you know, I can see that now with issues of why vote. It seems to be meaningless. They're going to do what they want. Like, nobody's being held accountable. Our governor general goes and spends $70,000 on a limousine to travel to and from a conference that is less than, well, 500 meters, a third of a mile for 4 days. And nobody seems, well, everybody's outraged about it, but nobody is stepping up to take that into account. And so why vote? And is this really falling into what the politicians want? Like, what would happen if in Canada or the United States you dissolve government because it's time within the legislation to dissolve government and nobody shows up to vote? What happens?
Well, you have essentially...
You have the bureaucrats running the place.
Well, the bureaucrats are running the place now anyway. So it really begs the question, why bother to vote? Because even if you do vote, the bureaucrats will stymie whatever the political party who got elected wants done. I mean, and it really doesn't matter at this stage which party you're talking about, because if you have an entrenched bureaucracy that basically is the other
fact of government.
Yeah, I mean, these are unelected rulers. Right now it might be fashionable for those in Ottawa and Washington to go along with it, because their guys are, if you want to believe it, are the deep state or the fourth branch of government. But when things turn around and they're no longer around, and then you have bloodletting taking place, and you can, I would suggest that that would be the next thing that will cause great crisis if if there's a change in Washington or in Ottawa. That ruling party is going to have to come in and do some serious branch and root changing. Because they'll never get anything done, because this entrenched gang will make sure that whatever the people said wanted to be done, they're going to do it differently. Because it's, unfortunately, politics is not like business. And I segue into the fact that we were talking about how Ford lost $4.5 billion on electric vehicles this year, which is up from $2.1 billion last year. And that's because the government told them to go build electric vehicles. Now, this is not an issue about electric vehicles. This is not the point. The point is, when you start making stuff that people don't want because somebody
can't afford,
then you're going to run into a bit of a problem. And this reminds me of the saying of the communist days back in Eastern Europe or in Russia, Soviet Union times, where they would build tractors that nobody wanted. Because, you know, the government decided we are to build tractors. Everyone build tractors. Okay. No one needed tractors, but this is what Ford's doing, you know. And so when you read the write-up on the laws here, it says that, you know, the Ford gets all this money from the government to build electric cars, which is fine until the money runs out. Then you got a problem, because you're going to fill up parking lots full of stuff nobody wants to buy. So you know they're talking about adjusting their losses to something like $11 to $12 billion. You know, what company stays in business like that?
Well, and it goes back, like I had also said today, we had the domestic juror taking the car in for its servicing.
Yes,
and we noticed that there wasn't a lot of cars that were on the lot, and on the lot. We saw one of the sales guy that sold us our car many, many years ago. And he said, you know, it's we don't have cars for sale anymore. We have cars that come up, and with that, you pre-buy, pre-select, pre-order, and have it delivered to us, and then we give you the car. So we don't have to have all of our lot filled up with cars that may sell sometime, or we'll have to have a fire sale to get rid of them to make room for more cars. So, places like Ford and GM, by jumping onto this just to get the subsidies, are going to run into that problem where they've got cars that are going to sit and sit and sit until there's a fire sale and people can go out and buy them for pennies on the dollar.
Well, and if you don't think that's bad news, how about this largest bankruptcy in U.S. trucking history took place yesterday, where a company called Yellow Trucking, which is the third largest carrier in the U.S., filed for bankruptcy. It ceased all operations midnight last night. This is a Nashville, Tennessee-based company. Basically, try to make changes of operational changes, working with its union, the Teamsters, and they weren't going to move. And they told them, "Listen, we can't run this business if it's going to be run your way." And they said, they've been in negotiations, and in the end, the companies folded. Boom, gone. This is puts 30,000 people out of work. 22,000 of those are Teamsters. But this was in the making for some time now. It just kept trying to do this company become more efficient. The shareholders wanted to see this thing work. Teamsters kept on going on about they needed to get raises. Back in 2019, they got an 18% raise, and so you keep going on with trying to save the ship, and they got $700 million from the government to stay in business. Even that didn't work. And this is the amounts of money here are just phenomenal when you look at it. But here, once again, you've got people who really don't understand business. They really don't understand how it is you make a profit, how it is you employ people, because you can't employ people if your company's not making money. You just can't, but they don't care. And then you talk about how there's a manufacturing boom going on. If you say, "What boom are you talking about?" Or and in fact, there is no boom. It's just a lot of propaganda. And then when you talk about inflation is down, but then they conveniently take out the cost of food, they take out the cost of fuel, and they take out the cost of housing. So those three indices are taken out. Oh, inflation is down. Yeah, but have you been at a grocery store? Have you bought gas lately? Didn't you tell me now that where you are, a liter of gas is 209 or 206?
Well, 206.
Okay, so for the Americans listening, tell them what that is in gal a gallon would be in dollars.
I think we figured that out too. It was
Seven and change, right?
$7.45
Okay,
US gallon.
so all you Americans wanted to drive to Canada, better tank up before you cross the border, because last I looked, well, at least in this neck of the woods and over in Port Huron, a gallon of gas is 370 something or 360, somewhere around there. But it's not $7. Right now here we're at 168 a liter, which is just shy of, I think, $6 a gallon.
And now if you take that $7, that would be $7 Canadian, so maybe $5.30 US.
Yeah, well, it's just still
Yeah.
$2 more a gallon. So, all is not well when you look at
Well,
that.
it's going to kill tourism, that's for sure.
Of course, I kill tourism. It's going to kill a whole lot of stuff because you can't follow that price increase and have it stop at transportation or stop at services or stop at because it gets fed through the system. The truck driver is gonna, or the in transportation will download that cost to the user. The user will download that to the supplier. The supplier will download that to the, yeah, it's just exactly. And that, and these clowns, and I call them clowns because it's the nicest word you can use without being taken off the air here, who are selling us this rubbish.
And it goes down to the point that yes, the price of fuel comes down to me eventually because they need to have money to make things, to transport things, to get things, to make things so that I can buy things like lettuce and carrots and tomatoes. But it's also the same when you get to the different levels of government. I said it before, I don't care whether you tax me municipally, provincially, state level, federally, whatever you want. I'm the guy that's paying it. You know, you can raise taxes all you want anywhere you want, but eventually I'm not going to be able to afford it. I won't be able to pay taxes. And then what are you going to do? Now, and you couple that with the fact that, you know, I can't pay taxes and I can't afford to go to the grocery store. This is not going to end well. This is going to be like another Jurassic Park movie here, folks.
Well, the future price of oil jumped this morning on various markets. So, you know, I think we're headed towards higher prices globally. Primarily because the people are buying as much, hence the people who make the oil, particularly in the Middle East, are saying, well, we're not going to take cheap prices, so we'll just stop. Since you're not buying, we're just going to cut the supply. And you know, the old adage of supply and demand, mm-hmm. they have bills to pay and they're not going to give away cheap oil, so they're just going to leave it in the ground. You know, and that's a bad sign going forward. So it's not very positive that way. And of course, the whole business of why we're living in the weird times we are has much to do with not just politics, but not just economics of politics as well. When you have crazy talk like Secretary Biden saying, you know, nuclear war is same, not Biden, I'm sorry, the John Kerry, the guy who's the climate guy, says that nuclear war is as bad as climate change. You know, I can't believe anyone would say something that's stupid, but I guess they do. And then the other one, the Biden guy, is talking about, well, you know, maybe tactical weapons could be used, tactical nuclear weapons, and even talking about tactical nuclear, are you crazy? So
tactical, like, what is tactical? That's is that kind of like being, I think I'm pregnant, but I'm not.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to, I think we're getting tired of most people are tiring of the Ukraine thing anyway, because it's just gone on way too long. And everybody is now seeing that there must be some very strange links here between those who are making money on this and those who are actually talking about, some sort of war that's winnable with China and Russia. I mean, this is crazy talk, but.
War games, yeah.
A war game.
Watch it. It doesn't end well, and it's not going to end well.
Yeah. So, but we'll keep that one for another day. Anyway,
down to our last 30 seconds or so. Yeah. But.
So, we'll say adieu and enjoy the summer.
That's right. And don't forget to go out and get that axe throwing kit.
Yes, available at your local grocery store. Take care, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. All righty. That was close.
Yeah, I think we're down there, but
yeah.
Anyway, right. I gotta go pick up my car here. So
okay. Well, I'll talk to you soon, Bob.
All right.
Does this warranty work?
No, it's just regular service, oil change and the like. So
$100.
No. More than that.
Ooh.
Yeah.